Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat Hamilton. If you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. We're continuing the conversation about, is America being organized? Is the nation, is the world being organized? And if it is, what do we do? How to respond as Christians? And do we change the world? Do we change ourselves and be the light that God's called us to be in it? Also, in the news today, today is Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, is going to the United Nations to speak today. Last time he went, I believe, to the United Nations, he was talking about a bomb. He drew a cartoon caricature of a bomb and said that when they get to this line, when Iran gets to this line, then that's when it's gone too far, and we have to react to that. The red line.
Red line, yeah.
And then since then, the red line has been talked about to the point where they say that our president, America, has drawn a red line in regards to Syria and the chemical weapons. And all of a sudden, everything was pushed to the point where we have presently, based on my understanding, we have battleships in the Mediterranean on the west coast of Iran, of west coast of Israel and Syria, of because we were going to, based on what our president was saying and what our Secretary of State was saying, that we were going to bomb Damascus. And reportedly, and what God had given me, and you got to go back and listen because the Lord had given me before it happened, the time it was going to happen, what he was going to say, and this is going to happen, right?
Yeah, sure did.
And so when we're so today, Israel, Jacob, is speaking to the world. That's what the United Nations represents. All the nations are gathered together. Remember the Valley of Jehoshaphat. All the nations will be gathered together in the Valley of Decision to be judged at Jehoshaphat. So all the nations are gathered together here in the United Nations for Jacob, the Prime Minister of Israel, to speak. And I don't know what it's going to say. I mean, he could be speaking as we're talking right now, because maybe somebody can pull it up. But in the context of that, yesterday, I believe it was, he met with President Obama in the White House. And so you have President Obama and the Prime Minister of Israel meet in the White House, Prime Minister Netanyahu, about what is going on in the directions and about Iran. But at the same time, what Prime Minister Netanyahu was saying, we're talking about, this is all part of the conversation here. This is all part of the conversation. Is the world being organized? Is America being organized? Remember, America's 5% of the world's population. While he's talking to Jacob, the one who's threatened to take Jacob out, while he's talking to Israel, the one who's threatening to take Israel out, who part of their actual constitution, if you would, or their makeup in the supreme leader's makeup in what they're made up of in Iran is to destroy Jacob, to destroy Israel. And so while he is sitting in the White House, while America is sitting in the White House talking to Israel, we have battleships floating off the West Coast with guns pointed supposedly 90 miles north of Haifa, which is Haifa's in Israel. So Damascus, I mean, you're looking at just micro turning of a barrel to turn to Israel. So we actually have Israel surrounded on the West Coast. Iran has it surrounded on the eastern borders. And Syria and Lebanon on the northern borders. You have Egypt on the southern borders down there. You have the Muslim, the whole Arab Spring surrounding it with the Arab League. And we're partnering with them. We're shaking the hand of the president of Iran, or at least sticking our hand out, and they're rejecting us. But now we're actually writing letters back and forth. The news is reporting to, you know, Persia, to Iran. In the context of that, now we're sitting with, my goodness, it looks like even Israel's being organized. It looks like the world, and potentially led by our own president, that he's organized Israel. He's polarized Israel. Mm-hmm. He's polarized the Arab Spring. He's polarized Iran. Okay, they've got nuclear weapons. We're not going to do anything about it right now. Mm-hmm. He's polarized Assad, northern parts of the border right there. He's polarized the Muslim Brotherhood that's totally against Israel's existence. He's polarized the whole area. He's organizing Israel,
right?
Because you got to have contention, Marshall Gantz says, to be able to push them beyond the limits so that you can settle. And he goes, after you polarize, then you depolarize and you settle. This is the thing about it, though. Let me tell you this. And we're talking about the church perspective is you don't use Lucifer's tips for organizing. You're partnering with the devil when you do that. You're partnering with Satan against God, the apple of God's eye. It's not going to end up with those same techniques that worked in a neighborhood, that worked in a city, are not going to work against Israel. God is going to backlash that, and he's going to come back and just whack any nation that tries to put their hand and think that you can push Israel into complying with anything outside of God's will.
That's right.
And so, but that's your, you have a polarization. And so it's helpful to understand. And the way that Marshall Gantz puts it, he says, and I believe that he's even quoting Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals. He says, you have to be schizoid. And you can find out the definition of that. We got all these different words, but schizoid, in other words, you got to be up yes and no at the same time. And you look at the president, and the president truly is a community organizer, and he's president. And by the way, and as Christians, we need to honor him as the president. We need to honor him. Even Paul in chains stood before the king and honored the king as king, and even talked about his accomplishments. And there's been some major accomplishments that our president has done and needs to be honored for that. And then he began to hopefully share the light with him that he would be one. But just speaking against our president, you know, it's ungodly to be able to do that in the context of that. But you share the truth in regards to the light, and you can do that in America. But if it weren't in America, you still would have to do it because of the First Amendment. But you can do it in a way that honors. And so we're looking at a community organizing concept, according to Marshall Gantz, according to Saul Alinsky, according to the practices that I learned, is that you first have to polarize everybody. And so, and it's like, wait a minute, Israel's being polarized. Egypt got polarized. Syria's being polarized. I mean, every place except Iran is being polarized.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And China's being polarized. The New York Stock Exchange got polarized. The banks got polarized. They became the enemy. The Catholic Church got polarized when they started talking about, you know, they can't pay for abortions and the health care bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, they totally changed the argument at that point. Healthcare, now the people that have healthcare and don't have healthcare, they became polarized and they were like put against each other. Mm-hmm. Christians are being polarized against people who are not Christians. Democrats are being polarized against Republicans and whatever other parties they have out there. These other conservative, I mean, everything's being polarized in this huge contention. Well, the next procedure, according to one of the master organizers, Marshall Gantz, is, once you get that contention going and you push things to their limit, he says, then, that's T-H-E-N, then you depolarize and you settle.
Right.
And you think about it, that in negotiating, when you're negotiating with people, that's just kind of a normal thing. It's not an abnormal thing in regards to, you know, shoot for the stars and land on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't go in there to your boss and say, in the context of it, if it's within the means of it and you're a good employee, you can, you know, say, hey, you know, if you're really needing to walk out of there with so much an hour or so much in your salary to be able to take care of the family's needs and stuff, you know, there's a chance that your boss is a negotiator and says, you know, he or she's going to need to feel like they've had some input in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you would ask for more,
right?
You know, and sometimes just because you need something doesn't mean that God doesn't want to give you more. There's nothing wrong with you having more than enough.
Right.
One of his names of God is more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then you settle down. It's like, okay, well, your boss is going, well, I guess that whatever, not so bad at all. Right? Or you may have to leave. I mean, you may have to leave your place of employment because you're not making enough money. And so you tell them or her, you say I need this amount of money to be able to take care of my family, and this is going on and whatever. And if you can't do this, I totally understand that, but I'm going to have to change my place of employment. I can no longer make widgets for you or make money for you anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, that is a big polarization, and you're pushing the whole thing beyond its limit, but that could be your reality. you may have to go find you something else that meets your financial needs because maybe that business can't do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden it causes that boss maybe to look into his or her finances more than they ever looked before. And they realize, wait a minute, I'm spending a lot of this money on boats and cars and stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need this lady or this man that's done so well. You know, I'm willing to forego. And all of a sudden that causes them to look at areas of their management of the finances of their business they never did before to make a yay or nay decision in the context of that, which mm-hmm. either one of them can do that in the context of that. That's not a negative thing because the boss could say, hey, take a hike. Nice knowing you. See ya. Great.
That's all right.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Yeah. And if you weren't honest, then you know you're gonna have a bruise in your butt because the door's gonna hit you on the way out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And but then again, that tension caused him or her to kind of look into it. But when you begin to use that tension in an evil way, when you try to use it to organize against to destroy the business, to begin to only think about yourself, to unionize to the point that you're gonna struggle and you're gonna suck this business and corporation dry just mm-hmm. so you can have your benefits.
Right.
Now you're looking at a demonic movement taking place and mm-hmm. it's meant to destroy. But when all the cards are on the table, it's not. So I'm not saying that organizing is wrong, but organizing for the wrong reasons. If you're using tips from Lucifer, pretty much guaranteed this is not good. And you're openly saying that. And so one of the statements in, because he quoted in from the Rules for Radicals and Saul Alinsky's book. And he talks about in his book, one of the statements in his books, he says, talking about Marxism, mm-hmm. he says, you know, Marxists begin, he began with the prime truth of that all evil is caused by the exploitation by those who are capitalists. So he polarized immediately and said, okay, those that are being exploited, that's the North and South,
right.
The East and West of that is capitalism. So he's polarizing those two aspects of it. I'm just reading a little quote from Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. And from this he logically proceeds to a revolution to end capitalism. So now everybody's been polarized, and this all of a sudden now capitalism is our enemy. Now all the other folks that were North and South, they're going to come against the East and the West. Then he says, then he carries it into the third stage of reorganization into a new social order of a dictatorship over the people. Uh-huh. So first he polarized them.
Mm-hmm.
He got them to fight amongst themselves. The word devil means one who gets in between and divides, by the way, the root of the word. It brings division.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord hates those who cause discord.
That's right.
And so then the mindset of that kind of organization was to cause discord to the point where they begin to contend and fight. And then all of a sudden, as they're fighting and they're defeating each other, then all of a sudden a dictator would come over them. That's what he's saying. But listen to this. This is the final outcome. And finally, the last stage, political paradise, the political paradise of communism. Marshall Gantz just quoted from Saul Alinsky's Lucifer Tips.
Right.
About ultimately communism. Communism is the rejection of God, where government is God and man has the ability to the utopia, the paradise, the political paradise of communism. And we saw communism. We saw firsthand, you know, we had a Wendy's commercial you could see on the VFN Torch where they would have this lady come out and she had this gray prison gown looking thing on,
right.
Just gray blah. And it was a fashion show in a communist nation. And so she walks out on the model runway and it's, you know, they said, and the person's announcing and you have all these Russian generals in the audience down there, you know, and they're mm-hmm. plotting, you know, very orderly according to the dictator. And they said, and next evening there. And next day there. And so, which is day where. And so she marches out in that gray dress with just blandness.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like everybody's applauding, yay, walking down the catwalk of a model. And then, and she was thick like me, by the way. And then she comes back, probably looked like me. Anyway, so then she goes back, and then he comes out and he says, and next evening there. And then the same lady comes out with a flashlight. You know what I'm saying?
With the same clothes on.
The same clothes on, right? And everybody's like, yay. Well, what they were really saying is, that's communism.
Right.
That's how it ends up. Mm-hmm. If you pull God away, I mean, just go look at the difference between the Dominican Republic and Haiti. It's the same piece of land, but the only thing that divides them is where Haiti said no to God, and their founding, where they came, what happened was they made a pact with the devil. And you go to just cross over the border there to the Dominican Republic, and all of a sudden you got green plush, mm-hmm. everything. It's like,
totally different.
It doesn't work. I think 50% of the population of Haiti now, I think, is 17 years old and under.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? And just, and it's like the answer to that darkness is light, mm-hmm. is bringing in light. And there's a lot of stuff too that didn't just happen. But so communism is not good. So for us as the church, by the way, Christians, hello. And that's what we're talking to is like, what perspective do we have? And the perspective that we have is that we don't want to promote an effort that takes away the republic for which we stand, mm-hmm. because it allows us the First Amendment rights to be able to worship God freely. That's why we got here. If you have not yet heard America, how we got here and how we stay here, you got to find out. It was the word of God in the hands of men who met the God of the Bible, who understood that you can be one nation under God if you know God. But if you don't know God, you got to be one nation under a king or a tyrant or something, because there's no rule. And so we don't want to lose this. Mm-hmm. And so there is, communism is not a utopia. I mean, look at Gorbachev and what happened. And, you know, when the walls came down, they were just trying to come out of that. Their whole economy crashed and everything.
Right.
But it's like we're going right into where other people in the nations are going, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? That's what they're saying. They're like, what are you doing?
Right.
We know we wanted to become like you, and you're trying to become like what we're trying to get out of. And then what it is, understand, it's not a logical thing. It's God turning a nation over if we don't humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that we have Jehoiakim presently leading us, which means God set man. God put man in place to be able to take us and humble us as a mm-hmm. nation and adjust us. And man, we are being humbled rapidly,
man, are we?
As a nation. And if you see Josiah, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, and Nebuchadnezzar, you kind of see our future if we don't repent. As a matter of fact, you can go to VFN TV and listen to Josiah.
Mm-hmm.
We are Josiah. You can listen to that and get a perspective of what's really going on in the context of that. And so here we have... So this organization, this organizing that's going on, and he's quoting from Rules for Radicals from Saul Alinsky, and so we want to find out what that is. And when you think about it, he says, and this is what he also says in his book, and Robert, and I always want to call it Robert's Rules of Wars, but it's actually Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which is interesting. Rules for Radicals is kind of an oxymoron. Anyway, so rules?
I just got that, okay.
Yeah. Because he realized that Satan realizes that if we don't all get along in this evil, it's just not going to work.
Right.
But he was in jail while he was writing it, reportedly. So he goes on to write, he says, an organizer working in, this is what he says, an organizer working in and for an open society, remember that, an open society is in an ideological dilemma to begin with. He doesn't have any kind of fixed truth. Truth to him is relative and changing, and everything to him is relative and changing. To the extent that he is free from the shackles of dogma, he can respond to the realities of the widely different situations. In other words, there is no yes and no, there is no truth. And so you think about that. And so I want you to remember open society, because that's where things are going. And, it is shocking how fast it's going there, because it looks like from as we're beginning to see, possibly we're being organized.
Mm-hmm.
Israel's being organized.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How do you come up with a good time for a curfew for your teen? This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Well, here's psychologist Dr. Kevin Lehman, who realized that question was best answered by his teenager.
Some people are surprised to learn the Lehman kids, all five of them, they never had a curfew. And people say, well, what do you mean they didn't have a curfew? Well, let me try it again. They never had a curfew. They didn't like it. The Because they'd always ask the question.
Because they'd always come home earlier than you would.
Oh, they'd always ask the question. Dad, what time are you home? You'll be home at a reasonable hour. They hated that. They'd rather have me say, you'll be home at 1 a.m. or you're going to turn into a pumpkin. But we didn't. We put that tennis ball of life on their side of the court. But we also expected the best of them.
Empowering your teen to make their own choices while still under your roof helps them launch into adulthood more easily. And you'll hear more trusted advice from Dr. Kevin Lehman today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Steve, have you seen our Facebook page?
Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome. You know, for all of our radio subscribers, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/VFNTV. Every day, there's fresh segments that are posted on there, and it's a great way for you to stay connected and be in touch. I want to encourage you, too, to encourage your friends to like our page. We want to continue to get the good news out, to share encouraging stories, to share God's news behind the news, as well as informing you, educating, and inspiring you. Again, check us out at facebook.com/VFNTV, and don't forget to like us. Steve, I got great news.
Tell me.
Did you know that there's an app on how to build a fire?
Really?
There's an app. Yes, there's an app on how to build a fire, okay?
All right, lemon twigs. I need that one. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes, you do. You definitely need that one.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's free. Don't cost you nothing to hook you up. But guess what else there's an app for?
Drying the wood.
Nope. VFN radio.
Nice.
Doesn't matter if you have an iPhone. Doesn't matter if you have a Droid. VFN radio has an app for that. All you need to do is go to your app store and search VFN TV and hit download. And it's VFN radio on the go. So no matter if you're at home, no matter if you're in the car, you're at the beach, you're at the park, you can stay plugged in, you can be encouraged, and you have so much access to so much more. Download the app now, VFN TV.
I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat Hamilton, and we're talking about, are we being organized as a nation? Is the world being organized? And we're starting to realize as we're talking about this, my goodness, when you understand how the concept of organizing people and organizing communities. Mm-hmm. Israel's been organized. The Middle East has been organized. Egypt's been organized. Syria has been polarized and organized. America has been organized. And it's like we're being pushed to that tension. Then they go, and then this is what Marshall Gantz says. And he says, and then you depolarize and you settle. But the issue is you don't shove God and think he's going to settle with you.
Uh-uh.
He's going to deal with you.
Oh, yeah.
But he's going to settle things lest you repent. And so he said in his book, he's talking about the rules for radicals, which is a contradictory type statement, isn't it?
Right.
That he was writing while he was in jail, allegedly. And that an organizer is working in and for an open society. An open society. And, you know, what is an open society? What are we talking about right here? When you think about an open society, it makes me think of a particular man by the name of George Soros, who actually has a foundation called Open Society Foundation.
Oh, wow.
You know, are we being organized? Listen, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than your city. It's bigger than your state. It's bigger than your nation. It's bigger than your region. It's bigger than your hemisphere. It's men want to rule the world,
mm-hmm.
but it's not bigger than God. So if your God is your nation, if your God is your things and stuff and all your idols, then you know it's not good for you. But if your God is God and your Lord is Jesus Christ, you know you just need to get an understanding to shine light on what's happening. So open society is what the organization is, because they believe, and you can find out more. We'll talk more about open society. But I mean, you think about George Soros. George Soros has a network called Open Society Foundation, and he just these borders he talks about, and we'll have more about it. But he's made a lot of money on nations falling, reportedly, their economies crashing. He says that the euro is pretty much gone. We want to ease it down slowly, ease it down. And so you're looking at a man who has a theory. He is a world organizer, it appears. And he's openly says, I made a lot of money. Yeah, I made a lot of money. And that I want to use my money, according to a YouTube video talking about the George Soros speaking at the Euro Foundation on June the 28th in 2013. He's talking about it, that I wanted to use my wealth to make a better world. And so, okay, all right. What kind of world do you want?
All right.
Because last I understood, it was God that created the world and the earth and everything that's in them and the heavens and the sea. And it's him that rules over all things and all kings are under him. And it's like, tips from Lucifer, right?
Right.
And you think, well, at least that's just way over there. That's nothing. It's over. And there's always, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's like 5 feet away. The mindset of Americans is like, that's over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's over there. Even if it's your neighbor's house door being kicked in, it's like it's over there. It's like it's 45 feet away from you, right? And so then an organizer, and is America and the world being organized? Listen, America, we're only 5% of the world's population. We have to open our eyes and look up, and God will let us know what's happened, what times and what seasons taking place. We need to be what God's called us to be, and the seasons God's allowed us to live. And he's called us to be the light of the world, and it's time for us to arise and shine and let our light shine, for our light has come. Even though gross darkness covers the earth and thick darkness covers the people, realize the light, people want the light. We have to begin to be the light. And so George Soros, I mean, he's filling the bill. He said, what does that have? What does George Soros and his Open Society Foundation have to do with us? I don't know. I'm not going to delve deep into it. We'll just go like, I don't know, the Secretary of State, the most traveled Secretary of State in the history of the world. Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Well, why would you bring her up? Well, it just so happens that the Global Initiative, right? That's mm-hmm. that's her husband, former right. President Bill Clinton. And I feel your pain. And just amazing. He's such a good ability to communicate, don't he?
Yeah, he did.
Man, still does.
Yeah.
And but he, there. So they had this Global Initiative. I believe at one time he was one of those, quote, 7-13 elders of the world or whatever. They're starting to see the world, just like men, Satan's always wanted to rule the world. And so when we give into darkness, there's something inside of us that wants to rule the world. But listen, we only want to rule it because we know what to do is better. We know how to handle things better. We can do things better than God.
Mm-hmm.
Not. But that's what men think. And that's why you have Saul Alinsky writing his book, Rules for Radicals, is that the utopia of communism. You know, he had yet to see the fall of the economy, the crash, and the Wendy's fashion show.
Right.
You know, this, he wrote that book in the 70s. And so so what does George Soros have to do with the secretary, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, by the way, the future president of America outside of, you know, that's something that she would like to do. You know, she's preparing based on the reports today that she wants to be the next president of the United States. And it would be pretty cool, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm not supporting any particular person or candidate, but she's thinking like, but if you're using tips for Lucifer to organize the world, that's not cool.
Mm-mm.
That's not cool. And so the most traveled Secretary of State in the history of the world, she went from state to state to state to state to state. We had to just almost like organize. And so I remember the Lord spoke to me back in July of 30th, back in 2010, about a wedding that was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
There was a wedding taking place. And that's when these two things came together for the whole world to see. That was when Chelsea Clinton was getting married
mm-hmm.
to her husband at that particular time, Mark, M-E-R-C. And they were getting married, I believe, in New York and Rhinebeck. And it was just a great celebration going on. There's a lot of security, and they're trying to keep it private or whatever, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. You know, Chelsea's getting married because, remember, she grew up in front of everybody.
Yeah, right.
And all that. And she found her a husband. That's pretty cool. You know, they're getting married. But then I found out, I was like, where they were getting married. They were getting married at George Soros's daughter's house. The billionaire who's using his wealth to bring open society with the Open Society Institute. And at this time, I don't know yet if it happened yet, the global initiative was about to manifest in the earth and happen in the context of that. All of a sudden, at some point, the Secretary of State was going to be the most traveled Secretary of State in the history of the world, you know, shifting and moving and shuffling things around and getting mm-hmm. things ready for the, you know, first, you know, how he talks about Marx and what he did. He polarized the people, and then he brought in leadership, dictatorship over them, and then brought in the utopia paradise of communism,
mm-hmm.
which is government knows best and will handle everything. The single payer plan.
Right.
You make a money, you give us the money, and we give you stuff and things and gray dresses for fashion shows. And so I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they're close friends. How cool. That the former president, Bill Clinton, and his vice president, who actually sold his television network to
Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera's. Oh, is that so cool? Everybody's just so tight.
That's so sweet.
That it's just like, oh, I think we're being polarized and organized.
Yeah.
I think men still want to rule the world. And I noticed that when men tend to follow darkness and they begin to want to organize, then it doesn't end up well for Jews and Christians for some reason.
Mm-hmm, right.
JJ. And you got to see JJ. You got to hear JJ on the VFN Torch. It doesn't end well because, and anybody can, if you right now, if you don't know God and you want to be a part of JJ, you want to be a Christian, you can be a Christian today. You can make a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and everything just changes. God forgives you, brings you into the family, and you join and find out the reason why so much comes against God's people, because God's people are blessed, forgiven, have eternal life. No matter what happens to us in this life,
mm-hmm.
we have eternal life with God.
That's right.
Because our Savior gave his life for us and paid the price for our sin. Jesus Christ did, and he was raised from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead by his Father and now our Father, God, that means he's the first to be raised from the dead, which means when we die, when we leave this life, because he was raised from the dead, and we trust and have faith in him, then the moment that we leave this life, we're risen from the dead. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. And so we have this hope in us. Well, obviously, if somebody doesn't have that hope, they're rather sad.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very envious and jealous. But you can have the hope. Why be a hater? Why not be a lover of God? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe God's calling you, and the enemy's convinced you of something else. And so I just want to encourage you and realize that the organizing the world is not the key. It's organizing our life in God. The kingdom of God is not here. It's not there. It's not communism or a democracy or socialism. It's not a republic. It's kingdom of God is within the heart of men. He said, it's within you. Some people will tell you it's there. Some people will tell you it's there. He said, don't even pay attention to it because the kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. And so when we're seeking, we're getting our life in order, not the world in order. And when we get the man in order, when we get our heart in order, our marriage, our life, and this kind of comes out from there, things begin to get order. So if we start trying to save everything by adjusting things on the outside, it's never going to work because we're still out of order on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
We got to first bow down to the king. So I thought it was pretty interesting that George Soros is right in there with community organizing and but world organizing, that our Secretary of State is great enough relationship, got married on his daughter's property, the billionaire's property, who's using his money to organize the world to make it a better place.
Right.
These borders are in the problem. The euro needs to come down gradually. And we are sitting polarized at $17+ trillion of debt,
mm-hmm.
you know, waiting to be eased down. And God is showing us that within 6 minutes or 6 seconds, either one, both of them are short, that the all of a sudden the economy is going to just, we're going to have a crash.
Mm-hmm.
And then the world as we know it is going to change. It's going to totally change. And so here we are. Are we being organized? It's looking like the answer is we're leaning towards, I'm leaning just a little bit towards, yeah. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaning a little bit towards yeah. The answer, by the way, is not rolling over and going to sleep right now or closing your eyes or turning on a movie so you can get your mind away from this. The answer is waking up, repenting, and being the light that God's called us to be. But also in, as we enter in, I want you, this is going to just ring a huge bell. So we got, you have to begin to open society, right? So we're seeing that's part mm-hmm. of Saul Alinsky's operating manual, Rules for Radicals, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
The polarization, that's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it's like, and he, like me, and like Marshall Gantz, the president was a community organizer, but it seems like he's still organizing. Organizing is not wrong. Unless we're using tips from Lucifer,
mm-hmm.
and which Saul Alinsky's book starts with. But also now, I think one more thing he talks about in his book, Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky writes, he says, remember, once you organize around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. Once you organize, this is Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals talking about how to organize. Remember, once you organize around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then organized people will begin to move. From there, it's short and natural step to political pollution, to the Pentagon pollution. And it's like, they're even talking about global warming. They're actually saying we're polluting the atmosphere. It's like, this is not even a secret. This is like, this is a book you can get from Amazon.com and you can read. I was reading it last night. It's like, they didn't use the word global. It's like, what is this global warming stuff? And so people are arguing about, they're polarizing themselves. Like they're buying into the whole concept. They're being polarized.
Mm-hmm.
And you're arguing with the ones they wanted you to argue with instead of saying, did you just try to polarize me? Are we talking about the icebergs melting and stuff? You know what I'm saying? What happened here? And this is what he says in Saul Alinsky's book in Rules for Radicals. He says, remember, once you organize people around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then an organized people is on the move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution and to Pentagon pollution. In other words, you can organize the government.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that our president, one of his first things he went to do was to go sign, he was going to go to Denmark, I believe it was Denmark, I can't think about the country that it was right now, and sign in the United Nations in regards to, let's go to this global warming, let's begin to deal with this global warming. Let's start saying, let's polarize people based on the fact that there's this pollution issue, and we'll get the whole world buying behind this.
Mm-hmm.
And start charging carbon tax to people. And it's really just some whole concept put out there. And it's like, okay, now we got people organized around the green movement, you know, and we got light bulbs that you can't burn anymore. And it's just this whole concept. And so it's like, okay, people can organize around that. But then he goes, He says from there, it's a short natural step to deal with political pollution and Pentagon pollution. Let me add to that. Christian pollution and Jewish pollution.
Mm.
Right now, all, as we speak, this last week, I believe it was this week, a pastor was preaching revival in Louisiana, and somebody walks in and shoots him dead. Dead.
Wow.
Don't know all the details? Dead. There's video of people walking up and so much hatred in their heart. They said, all I want to do is destroy you and remove you from this nation. I want to remove everything to do with the church and anything with the Bible and anything from just, and you have to understand that if you buy into this polarization, instead of humbling yourself before God as a Christian and repenting from our wicked ways and seeking the Lord and responding the way Jehoshaphat did and positioning ourselves to receive, to be able to come against this vast army, then you're looking at, you know, great times of trials and difficulties.
Right.
We're being organized.
Mm-hmm.
We are being organized in a simple little book called Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky is being used like a playbook. I mean, whether they're using it or not, it's like they're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But being a community organizer, being hiring Marshall Gantz as part of your political campaign, as the one who quotes from a book, mm-hmm. Rules for Radicals, that was openly dedicated to Lucifer in the beginning of it, or at least talked about,
mm-hmm.
tips from Lucifer. I think, hey, we got to pay attention. This is a polarization happening between God and Satan, darkness and light. And guess what? Light is greater than darkness. It's time for us to wake up. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You know, I tell you what.
What?
Like I gotta tell you this.
What?
I gotta tell you this. I am just totally, you know, I'm not a gardener.
Mm.
I'm not a carpenter.
No.
I'm not a painter.
No.
Well, that's too busy. What am I? I used to be something. No, anyway, so
we'll get back with you.
We'll get back with you on that.
Yeah,
right. So I planted some trees.
You planted trees?
You did? Well, I had some trees planted.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, I did plant a tree in the past, a couple trees.
Well, I remember that tree.
And they're nowhere around today.
Right.
It took a lot of energy and effort. And it's like, you know, I don't plant trees. Mm. So I actually had, I had someone come.
Stick with what you can do.
And plant some trees. Well, I told them, here's one. I need one here. I needed one more, but I didn't get it. And so we have these trees that are beginning to grow, and they say, you know, wait 30 days before, you know, water them.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, I shouldn't even put water on them because water has come from the sky ever since they've been in the ground.
No doubt.
Thank God they're river birches. They can handle the water.
They can handle the water.
Okay.
I think. Anyway, so I'm looking at my trees. I had a moment to kind of look at them, and I'm thinking, what are my branches? One of my branches broke on the brand new tree.
Oh.
I'm like, is there a warranty on this thing?
You better get some duct tape.
Is there a warranty on this thing? And so I'm thinking, that is something. So I am focused, man. I am focused because I'm not a gardener either.
All right.
I had to go dig through a toolbox and I found a pair of wire cutters. Oh, it's something like supposed to prune or something.
That poor
like
tree.
That.
Oh, my
God. Yeah,
gosh.
I know. Oh, it was looking at me coming, I'm sure. And so I'm going out there, you know, just taking a quick moment to go remove this broken limb from this tree.
Poor tree.
I know. I'm just thinking, this is just
like eating a potato with a butter knife.
I know. And it was obviously... It was pretty thick. And it's, then, you know, of course, I'm pretty sure it was Max, my German Shepherd, that jumped up on this tree and because he likes to jump up close to it and probably pulled it down or something. He's a protector.
He's pretty big dog.
Yeah,
though.
He is.
He can jump.
He is. But I took the saddle off of him now, so he's kind of like...
a little lighter.
And so, you know, I'm going out there and I'm focused on this broken limb and I'm reaching in there and I'm cutting that thing off. And then I start going, I'm thinking, not only am I upset with a broken limb, but I stepped in a Palamax. Man,
oh,
I was like, I was standing in fertilizer, fresh fertilizer, man.
Nasty.
I'm like, no, broken limbs, pile of poo, help me get me out of who. Anyway.
That's not a pile. That's a mountain of poo.
I could tell that I was in it when I felt it on my knee. It's like, it is. The tree. What are y'all thinking about? Jiminy crickets.
Oh,
I'm telling you, so then because I was no longer focused on the limb.
you?
I was no longer focused on the limb. I was rubbing my foot across the backyard, and what do you
scrape,
know?
Scrape.
I found some more. Needless to say, I'm going
to
leave. I don't trim trees either now. Ooh, I don't trim trees. And obviously, I don't do enough poo runs to be able to take care of that.
Pray for the lawn
man.
Let me
tell you, a great occupation. This is a great occupation. If you're thinking about a good job, they may do it for a while, but if you show up and say, you know, for this amount of money a month, I will come and remove the poo from your... Think about it. Wouldn't that be a big job?
Huge.
Especially with my dog.
Especially in your yard.
Yeah, my dog. My dog. You know, your dog, it's like 15 to 16 times right before it matches Max.
Well, my dog, he's a big joker.
Yeah, it's just like, goodness, Max Rushmore. Well, anyway, getting back to more, I was talking about trees. And so my trees are growing. I trim the limbs down, and they are definitely, you know, I thought I needed to fertilize them, but it looks like Max is doing a really good job.
I see. Water and mountains.
Water and mountains, water and all that kind of wonderful stuff.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat. Just want to let you know that we found out if you combine those two aspects, the tree grows better. So we're just going to teach Max to come by the tree.
Yeah, right.
And it's like fertilizer. Anyway, so getting back to more fertilizer, as we're talking about organizing the world, we're talking about Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and you can get this book yourself. Go to VFNTV.com, click on the torch, and there'll be a link there for you to get the book and read it yourself and see. But it's just so amazing how in alignment with what exactly is happening, not just in America. America's like, I think it's done already. I think we're already organized.
I think we're finished.
Yeah, well, we're at least organized and definitely polarized. And so there's actually tactics. There's one particular chapter called Tactics in the book. And so I want to break these tactics down. We'll begin them today. We'll probably finish them up tomorrow. But just to get a biblical perspective. So when you see this tactic being used, you want to make sure that, okay, is this organization organizing based on Lucifer tips, or is this a godly thing that's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's good for the church to be, if we're walking with Jesus Christ in the midst of a dark world with thick darkness over people, with darkness cover the earth, you are polarized. Finally, you're polarized. We're supposed to be in it, but not of it. They're supposed to look at our lives and see that we're different.
Mm-hmm.
We've been so integrated in regards to that, that people don't even, where's the church? Mm. Some people that call themselves Christians, you get arrested and they'll have to let you go because when they got there and the jury sees the evidence, they'll find out I have to let them go on a lack of evidence.
All right.
I don't see any fruit in their lives. I'm trying to find something. We did find a Bible, but it was up under something and it had like 2 inches of dust on it and it had some great grandmother's name. I don't know. Maybe their grandmother was, but we're not sure yet. We cannot attach this Bible to them because we noticed they had no fingerprints on any of the pages in there because based, I guess, on the society, 81% don't even touch it. Mm. So what are the tactics? These are the tactics that are being used to organize based on Saul Alinsky. And the first tactic talked about is we're trying to understand organizing and how it works according to Saul Alinsky and what we're seeing take place even in America and the world today. He says the first tactic is the power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. The power, this is one of the tactics. The power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means they're going to say, people are going to say anything. And you're seeing people today, you're like, oh, wow, you're using the first tactic of Saul Alinsky. Because that's not true what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But they're going, so that's how you organize. You mm-hmm. organize by just making it look like, I don't know, I guess you would call that lying, right?
Right.
But then you just like, you bluff. You look at somebody and they confront you and you just go, what?
Works. <for me>.
And so that's so important. So the first tactic, and we're going to break these down and fill a biblical viewpoint because we want to be able to love the organizer. We want to be able to love, understand what's going on. And don't be so upset when you're being polarized because you're just being organized. And understand it's for us to act like a Christian, no matter whether we're north and south or east and west, no matter what side people put us on, it's not supposed to change our fruit and how we react to people. You know, we don't change if all of a sudden our government format changes. We're still supposed to walk with God no matter what. We're not of this world, you know, in the context of that. But so the first tactic he talks about in Saul Alinsky's book is the power. Power is not only what you have, but what people think you have. So what is a biblical viewpoint of that? First of all, 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 16 lets us know about tips from Lucifer. He tells us very specifically, he says, Satan himself, this is a light viewpoint of that dark view in the context of organizing for the wrong reasons. Satan himself, Lucifer himself, masquerades as an angel of light. Mm. What does that mean? Just because somebody's doing something good and it looks like it's good for somebody, maybe a social justice movement, for example, or open society, that's not how you know whether it's of God or not. Because Satan, Lucifer, masquerades as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say, he's talking about 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 16, it is no surprise then if his servants, in other words, people that are held captive by him that does his will, right? Mm-hmm. Then it is no surprise then that his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. This is so important because so many people think, well, that has to be God because it's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're putting a Band-Aid on the kids' feet. They're bringing food in. You know, they're bringing aid or they're thinking about how to make sure there's insurance, I mean, medical coverage for everybody. I mean, how could that not be good? That sounds great. Mm-hmm. Unless you're actually polarizing a people to be able to end up putting communism or Marxism or a dictator over them to bring them out of their relationship and their dependency on God. Mm-hmm. And so Satan, Lucifer, who rules of radicals, front cover, mentions, basically dedicates, I would say.
Yeah.
The first community organizer being Lucifer, by the way. That's what he's saying. So we have to understand that there are some community organizing that's done really well and done some great things. We've already talked about that. I'm not going to waste too much time talking about that. But so Satan himself, Lucifer himself, masquerades as an angel of light. So it's no surprise then, Paul says, that his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. So don't. I mean, if somebody's doing something good, don't tell them to stop doing something good. If somebody's trying to get health care for every human being on the face of the earth or health care for, for everybody in your nation, your country, for America, for example. Don't stand up on a platform and say, this is not right. I mean, that's, you can't say that, because if somebody's going to help somebody, that's good. But you can say, you know, what's your motives? You know, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. You know, what is the reason why you're doing this? But if it's a Christian, if you're going to stand up and say, she should not get health care, it's like, really?
Right.
Are you serious? You know, maybe God's doing by force what the church refused to do by choice.
Wow.
You know, you never know, because...
Think about that.
Yeah, read about it. So Luke 21:8 also reminds you of getting a biblical perspective of what the first particular tactic is power is not only what you have, but what people think you have. Remember, if Satan is masquerading as angel of light, he's causing people to think that he is the light, that he's right, and his servants are right, and the people that are doing his work are righteous. But they're not, but they're acting like it. But he says this, their end will be what their actions deserve. So realize, if you partner with people that you just, because they're good, but they're doing something good, I mean, and if it's a social justice movement type concept, and you did not understand you're partnering with somebody who's masquerading as light, but they actually were taking tips from Lucifer, your end's going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
In Luke 21:8, getting another biblical perspective is, when Jesus is talking, he says, watch out that you are not deceived. Watch out that you are not deceived. That is so important, because Lucifer, Satan, one of his attributes and what he does, he's the deceiver. And deception is what you think you're doing is right. Deception is a very, very scary thing, because the longer you're deceived, as John Bevere writes in his book, The Fear of the Lord, I think he does it really well, the longer you're deceived, the thicker the veil gets over your eyes, the harder it is for you to actually see that you're deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you need folks in your life that speak truth in your life. You're thinking you're doing it on your own, but if you don't have folks in your life and you're just living your life kind of out in front of people, then you could be turned off course and you could be deceived. And even Jesus, and if Jesus wouldn't have said, watch out in Luke 21:8, watch out that you're not deceived unless you can be deceived.
Right.
People say, you couldn't be deceived. It's like, Jesus said, watch out so you're not deceived. Paul said, Lucifer marches around, masquerades around as an angel of light. And what was the first tactic? And we're going to go over the rest of the tactics probably tomorrow in the first hour. You got to be able to catch it. We want to be able to understand this. No, don't stop. When people want to do something good, don't stand up as a Christian and say, stop this. You got to say, wow, that is wonderful that you want to help people out. Can I ask you a question? Why? Why do you want to do this? Because maybe we can do this together. And then you go, oh, your motive is to polarize us and divide us. And this is what he says in Solinsky. Solinsky says in his book, he says, be ready to adjust, because they might buy in and start going in the direction you're going, and it messes up your polarization. Then you have to polarize them again. In other words, if people start doing something good, join in and do something good for people. Don't sit there and say it's bad. That looks terrible. When the light's standing up and saying that we aren't going to take care of people and we're not going to help somebody that needs surgery, that's not a God thing. God right. says to take care of those. We got to figure out what is a light perspective of what's going on. Listen, it's looking like, and we're going to talk more about these tactics tomorrow. Make sure you catch it. And you're listening to VFN Radio in the context of, is America being organized? Is the world being organized? And if so, how do we as Christians respond to that? Listen, in this life we're going to have troubles, but cheer up. Our God, Jesus Christ, has overcome this life. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.